A63. Number 9B.
So at this point, we can see that the great thinkers of the world really did not think the way they did think because they wanted to think that way, but because they were used by the idea to think the way they did. And this takes away perhaps a bit the personal halo from those big people like Jesus or Mrs. Eddy or whoever it is, to see that they were not really the big guys, but they only were under God's dictates, as Mrs. Eddy would say. She didn't write the textbook. She wasn't the one who conceived of the textbook. She was a scribe under order, as she says. She was transparent for the idea. So the idea of science just was ready to break through. At that time, in the middle of the last century, all over the world, they began to speak about that there must be a science of Christianity, that there must be a science that is Christian, that there must be a Christian science. That term Christian science has been coined long before Mrs. Eddy coined it. And not only in this country, but also in Germany and so on. That term was known before Mrs. Eddy. The whole age was just pregnant with that sense that material science can't do quite the trick, that something is lacking in material science, that material science has no savior, is not the savior, is therefore not the Christian savior. And therefore thought was opening with many of the thinkers of that age for a science that is saving, really, that is Christian. Mrs. Eddy was the one, as we have seen in multiple discoveries, that was the purest transparency, the window pane that was clean enough so that the whole light, the full effulgence of that light could break through, but she never claimed that she has made up Christian science, that she has, so to say, what is the term? I can't say discover, invented. That she didn't invent Christian science, but that she was revealing, and that it was revealed to her what Christian science is. Therefore, the idea of Christian science is something that existed apart from Mrs. Eddy. And so it is with every new and further step. Therefore, in our age, we just have to see that each one of us should see that our job is to be transparent for that. How can we be transparent for that? Again, for what should we be transparent? For a creative idea. Therefore, in the measure as we culture that word of God, through the word everything is made that was made, if we culture that within our consciousness, we really clean our window pane and therefore is transparent for a new creative act to shine through. Therefore, I see the great value of culturing that word order through the seventh synonymous term also in this, that then really we lend ourselves for a transparency, for a new step in the divine, of the divine idea. Yes. Well, that's this aspect of evolution. So from this point, we can perhaps go on to a next big question, namely, where we also see the evolution, I would say, God conceived, not man conceived, very clearly brought out in the history of the 1,000-year period. This was another assignment that we wanted to take those 7,000-year periods and see that over a long range of 7,000 years, again, that one law of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love was made manifest. Therefore, it transcends, so to say, the time sense of an individual, of a single individual, so that we must say, therefore, there must be a impersonal idea at work that is channelizing everything in humanity over a long period into bringing out, really, the Word of God. So let's take the 7,000-year periods. We know from where we get this idea. It's from Peter, who said that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years. So he could see, really, that mind can manifest itself in one day. It can also manifest itself as a story in 1,000 years, to take 1,000 years to bring out one idea of mind, and so for spirit and soul and principle, life, truth, and love. Mrs. Eddy takes up that very point in the Days of Creation. She quotes Peter that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, indicating, therefore, that the 7 days of creation have nothing to do with a week, but that it also can have to do with a longer period. She also makes reference to these 1,000-year periods in her chapter on the Apocalypse, where she says, in the opening of the 6th seal, typical of 6,000 years since Adam, see, the distinctive feature as reference to the present age. So, here she gives another indication that she feels, yes, that belief, that it can take 1,000 years to bring out one day of the Lord in the history of civilization. We have now not the evolution of the world, like Dunois. Here we have now a shorter period, and applied not to the to material or spiritual evolution, but to the civilization story of the Western world. We must even restrict it to the Western world. It isn't something that applies to all cultures. It is typically the Judean Christian line of thinking, so we have to leave out the Eastern religion, we have to leave out all the cultures in Central America, in South America, so that we only consider here the Judaic Christian civilization. And here she says that this opening of the 6th seal, see, is typical for the present age, and she refers that present age is 6,000 years since Adam. We naturally know that this is not historically true. If Adam hasn't existed, we can't say that he lived 6,000 years ago. It's a legend, it's a saga, it's whatever, we can take it, a myth. But we know that the Bible tried to illustrate that idea and therefore arranged the generations from Adam up to Jesus so that they would cover 4,000 years. And it's actually only rather late-ish. I think it was the Bishop Usher, wasn't it Usher in Ireland or in England, who began as the first one to try to count those generations and make a historical record, and so he came to the fact that Adam, the story of Adam, must have been around about 4,000 BC. Interestingly enough, is anybody here who knows more about other civilization? I think that many books, historical books, also take the year 4000 as the beginning of history, of real history. I think Toynbee takes it also. Anyway, that date is a date that seems to even be historically rather correct, that when mankind came out from the mythological and magic age into more a conscious age and beginning to make history, at that and building up civilization, it was around about that age. As well as in that Euphrates and belt, what it's called? Where man considers was the birthbed of civilization, all that also there, one feels that the historians can trace it back around about to the year 4000. So it has some kind of a historical, proof that we can consider the civilization to have lasted now only 6,000 years. What is that in comparison to 5 billion years that the Earth exists and 3 billion years since life existed on Earth? So 6,000 years is actually nothing. But even then, for us, it seems to be a long time, and we are actually interested in a civilized world, so it is interesting to see how there was a constant development of ideas running through those 6,000 years, and that we have quite a good indication how these various thousand-year periods brought forth completely new solutions to completely new questions. So that they are not just stories told after stories and one story told after the other story, but that suddenly after 1,000 years the main interest of civilization shifted from one aspect to a completely different aspect, and then after 1,000 years again shifted to a completely different problem that they had to solve, and then again shifted to a completely different other problem that they had to face, so that those 1,000-year periods taken through the Bible really show a quite a distinctive feature. I don't know if you also know that that church father, Saint Augustine, remember him, one of the very big church fathers, he lived around about 350 until about 430, I think, that he was already talking about the world ages, and that he too began to see if he could see the whole history of the Bible in world ages, and he also already had he divided up the ages in so and so many generations. The first generation also starting with Adam, then leading to the flood period, then leading to the Abraham period, just as we have it in the Bible, then leading it to the David period, which we would call the kingly period. And then there he had a little bit of difference. He also brought in the captivity, which was naturally interesting, but then he comes to the next period, Jesus period, and so he too was seeing that there will be a Sabbath day, a day of rest for the people of God, as he said it. All right, let's take quickly, only in big lines, those 7,000-year periods without subtones. If I have time, if I have an hour left or so where I don't know what to do, I come back and show you those 7,000 periods in the subtones, which are quite interesting. Actually, it becomes really interesting when you take those 1,000-year periods in the subtones. But first, to get the flow of it, I think this is something that each student really should know without having any notes. Because it would show again that the whole Bible has an ordered unfoldment according to the Word of God. That actually, therefore, the Logos, the Word by which everything was created, would also show the problems that civilization had to meet, the fundamental problems of civilization, and therefore we should know these thousand-year periods. The first thousand-year period would cover which time? Could you tell me what first thousand-year period really symbolizes? It covers the time from where to where? Yeah, it covers from Adam to Noah. Good. What is the main tone in it? What is the main problem that they had to consider? The creation story, yes. How do you feel is that brought out in the Bible? Just so pinpointing it. Yes?
No.
We said it has the main tone of creation, huh? And how is it brought out, that whole sense of creation, in the, that first thousand period? Yes? You have the first record of creation, the second record of creation, then you have what?
Light to correct the false.
Yes, the second record of creation. What else do you always find in that period after the creation? After the second record of creation, do you still have a lot? What is the main tone there? When you read the text?
Awakening?
Yeah. You get all the begetting, huh? You have the whole genealogy, huh? Really, of the begetting. And runs right through. And therefore, that whole line, really, from creation, where not really very much is said from Adam and Eve, then... All right, you can say it's the wakening out of that Adam dream, you see, but the tone is constantly to beget and beget. For what purpose? What is the line of begetting there? You have, what is the first son?
Cain.
What is the second son?
Abel.
What is the third son?
Seth.
Uh-huh. And what do you have after Seth? You don't have anything after Abel, because he was dead, huh? What do you have from Cain? You have a whole generation of Cain, huh? That goes right down the drain, huh? Shows that goes right down the drain. You have a generation of Seth, and what does there happen? After generation, you have come to Enoch, huh? And what was said about Enoch? He walked with God, huh? So, you see, that whole first thousand-year period is really showing that mind is the creator. So, mind presenting itself as 7 days of creation, analyzing, uncovering, and destroying a false sense of creation, the second record of creation, therefore showing in practical experience that it destroys the false sense of creation of Cain and Canaan afterwards, and therefore the awakening out of that Adam dream to the true creation, namely that Seth, the third degree, that alone really brings us further, and then the generation of Seth to the point of Enoch, and he walked with mind. Whereas Adam was put out of Eden and dwelled in the land of Nod, in the land of chaos, of bewilderment, we see that the true line of creation over Seth and Enoch went right back to God, to the divine mind. So here you have the 1,000-year period that has that one big question of what is true creation, what is wrong creation. Where does a true sense of creation lead to? Where does a wrong sense of creation lead to? Then we come to the second 1,000-year period. From where to where goes the second 1,000-year period? From Noah to Abraham, yes. What is the main problem in that period? Is that main problem, again, the sense of creation, or what is that problem? Is there a distinction now in that period?
Separating him from the onrush of mortal mind.
Yes, it's a great sense of separating oneself from the false creation, or the onrush of mortal mind, as you call it. And how is that brought out in the history, in the biblical history?
Building of the ark.
What means an ark? Yeah, the understanding of spirit. Huh? The understanding of spirit, yes. So you have the firmament there. Hmm? What is actually Noah? You know what? How Mrs. Eddy defines Noah. Noah is the knowledge of the nothingness of material things and the immortality of all that is spiritual. Can you see again those two things? The nothingness of materiality and the somethingness of spirituality. That's Noah. Huh? An understanding of the nothingness of nothing and the somethingness of something. So we have a completely different problematics here in civilization, a wonderful sense that we should begin to get our true values, that we should see what are eternal values, values that last, that are immortal, what are temporary values. And so Noah is a representative of that of that understanding, that can value the true values and can shut out the wrong values by building that ark, which Mrs. Eddy defines as the understanding of spirit. And what further symbol do we have, a main symbol in that second 1,000-year period?
The myth of Babel.
Yes, you have Babel, the building of the Tower of Babel, symbolizing what?
The kingdom divided against itself.
The kingdom divided against itself, the very opposite of the ark. The mixing up of opposites. So that just as we had in the first day of, in the first 1,000-year period, first the positive sense, namely the first record of creation showing, analyzing and showing that the material record of creation is not the right creation, therefore really uncovering the wrong sense of creation. So in the second 1,000-year period, we first have the positive sense of the Noah story and the ark story, and that would uncover really the wrong sense of that ark, namely the mixing up of things, the Babel sense. Yes. If we go to the third 1,000-year period, from where to where goes the third 1,000 period?
From Abraham to King Saul.
What is included in that period? Just a few main indications. Can you tell me that? What the story are there? What is that which defines so the problems of that period? Is it again the problem of not mixing? Is it again the problem of separating? Or what is the big problem there? You see, we have to see that it is a civilization problem that is covered. And what is the problem there? From Abraham to Saul.
Well,
What is the big problem?
Problem of identity.
It's finding one's identity, huh? The search for identity and finding one's identity. How is that brought out in the Bible? Just a few...
characters are renamed by God.
It's the Hebrew tribes find a definite dwelling place afterwards.
Yes. All right. So you have already various indication. You said the defining, the naming, huh? We take first this before we go to other. What kind of naming do you have here? Do you have some examples? Huh? Yeah, you have right at the beginning, huh? Abram becomes Abraham, huh? He had a new name.
Sarah.
Exactly. Sarai, yes. Then Jacob, Israel, that's one of the main ones, yes. Benomi, yes. Benjamin, huh? Yes. What else do you have? Have you only the renaming of people? And God was renamed, huh? You have the I am that I am. You see, a wonderful definition of soul, huh? I am that I am. The self beingness, huh, of being, huh? The self sameness, huh, of being. I am what I am, huh? It's really a terrific definition of one's own identity. Yes, so you have the renaming and giving new names. Why is this a sense of soul? The naming and the renaming and... Yeah, but it identifies. Every time they rename them with a higher sense, huh? With a spiritual concept, and no more with a material concept. Huh? Yeah,